Maya Sharp is here. She's opening the show tonight at Brit Festivals, opening for Melissa Etheridge. Also has a new album due out later this summer called Change the Ending, and she is live in the JPR studios. Maya, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You grew up in the household of music. Your dad, a fairly prominent songwriter in his own right.
Yeah.
What was that like, being in a household where music was not only recreation, but it was also work?
Right. Well, I feel really lucky that I was in a place where they just supported every musical whim that I had. You know, I wanted to play oboe, I wanted to play saxophone. And they actually turned out to not be a whim. I was pretty hardcore about those things. And then, you know, I started writing songs and piano, guitar, and they were right there. They couldn't exactly tell me to go get a real job, which helped a lot.
When you were young, was there an instrument that you focused on primarily?
Saxophone was the first, but once I started writing songs, I think I was around 19, that just quickly became the first love. And so it just overtook everything. You know, I still play a little bit of sax on the records and live, but the writing is just, it's like a drug.
Yeah. And did you write primarily with piano in mind or with guitar in mind?
Started on piano, and then I felt myself kind of going to the same changes, and so picked up the guitar where I didn't know where the heck I was, and so I found some new things. And actually, the guitar now is what I play the most, maybe because it's the freshest for me.
Yeah. When you were starting out writing songs and even playing music, was that something that you were doing with dad, or were you kind of doing it by yourself?
Well, the very, very first one, I think I was five, and I saw him writing songs, and I said, oh, I can do this songwriting thing. So I wrote a song about a ghost or something that, who knows, maybe I saw it. I was five. Who knows what little kids
yeah,
see?
Yeah, right.
So I wrote like a 30-second song about seeing a ghost. And he helped me out with that. You know, he wrote the chord changes to that. And then when I picked it up again for real a number of years later, he was there. We co-wrote together a lot early on, and then whenever we can now, still, he's a fantastic songwriter. I've learned a ton from him, and he's had this string of hits. I mean, he's done very, very well, and he's just a real craftsman. Mm. So anytime I'm in town, and you know, we both have a minute, yes, we definitely try to write together.
And the songs that he has penned tend to be used by artists that would be considered country artists. Is that an influence that you have felt as well in your songwriting? I mean, your stuff doesn't necessarily fall into that same category, although there are definitely some country artists who have recorded your songs, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, I don't really feel like that's my wheelhouse, but there have been a handful of artists that kind of fall on the fringy side of country, on the left side, that I'm afraid is maybe closing in a little bit, you know, that have felt like the songs are for them.
Yeah. Well, you've got a new album coming out later this summer, and how about we hear a tune from it?
How about we hear the single from it?
Sure.
All right. This one's called Me After You. Be accompanied by my entire band, Linda Taylor.
When I left, you were lost and lying broken on the floor. Counted up the scars and thought I'd won the war. Said I tried everything to save us, but I didn't try. The other day I heard you were in Italy somewhere. I remember you told me you always wanted to go there, but never did want to learn the language, did I? Everything coming easy with the world on your side. And all I want is you. I know I hold the smoking gun, but clearly anyone would rather be you after me than me after you. I'm lying in it. after you, I stopped believing. All that I needed was this cursed freedom. But after me, you're laughing easy. Living, loving, ain't that something? I know I hold the smoking gun, but clearly anyone would rather be you after me than me after you. I made my bed, I'm lying in it. Baby, even I would rather be you after me than me after you.
Me After You, it's live music on Open Air from the forthcoming album called Change the Ending. Maya Sharp, live in the JPR studios. Maya, you are also known, in addition to being a performer, singer-songwriter, and playing a lot and touring a lot, you are known, as you have mentioned here just a minute ago, as a songwriter, and you have penned dozens, hundreds of songs for other artists, some of which have shown up on some fairly prominent albums from the likes of Keb Mo, Dixie Chicks, Edwin McCain, Bonnie Raitt. Is it hard for you to let your songs go to other people?
I love it.
Yeah?
It is a total thrill. They have 11, 12 spots on their album, and they could do any of thousands of songs, and they've chosen to do one of my songs. It is just entirely a compliment. I never have an issue with it at all. And I've been really lucky that the people that have recorded my songs have done a great job on them. It doesn't always work out that way. I have songwriter friends that are like, hey, I got a cut on the so-and-so, but don't go get it. You know? No, I've been really, really fortunate. It never precludes me from putting it on mine, you know, about there's three or four songs that I've had recorded by other artists. Sometimes they do it first, where it doesn't hurt the song or them or me to then just go put it on my album as well, you know, so I get, my version of it. In fact, the Dixie Chicks did Home first, and then I did it on mine, and I stole one of their harmonies because they added like a little cool little fourth part.
When you write, do you write with yourself in mind as the performer, or do you write thinking of the people who might do it, or do you write specifically for specific individuals?
It really depends on the room. It depends on what's happening at the time. I've been a staff songwriter a couple times for 4-year stints or so where I do have an artist in mind. There are times where I'm writing with an artist that is very much looking for new songs to put on their album, so I definitely want to think about them. And then there's some times where I'm just like, okay, I have this story that I want to tell, and it's probably going to be from me. But often when I identify with something enough, that's the infectious part, and another artist identifies with it as well. Mm. I've had a number of songs where I thought they were totally for me, and nobody would ever give a you-know-what about them because they were just, you know, such a personal thing, but that was the attraction. So they ended up on another album. I never get in the way of that. I really like it.
Yeah. So how does that process work of you and your, you know, suitcase full of songs finding artists or artists finding you? Does it work both ways?
It works every which way, and it always is the way I didn't expect it to. I've had some old school ways where the publisher just hits the street with a song and plays it for people and finds a home for it like that. I've had a number of them where I'm writing with the artist, him or herself. I'm friends with the artist. I opened for the artist and they heard it live. It's every crazy way.
Hmm. Do you think of the songwriting aspect of what you do as sort of like the day job and the live performing and making your own albums like more of the hobby side? Or how does it work?
It's interesting. I haven't thought of it as like hobby versus work side of it. But I do think of it in these terms, that I think I have some friends who think of it the other way, and both totally work. But I feel like the songwriting comes first and I get on the stage to get the songs out. Mm. I don't write songs so I have a reason to get on the stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, I didn't like start out on this thing because I'm a big ham and I want to get up there and just perform. And, oh, I guess I need some songs, so whatever. No, it's like, okay, I have these songs, so I better learn to get up there and present them in a way that I want them to be heard.
Whose songs are your favorites?
Ooh, I got some faves. I got a lot. I reach back a lot. You know, I go back to the Bonnie stuff, new and old. Mm-hmm. She's so full of soul that it always reaches me. Ricky Lee Jones and Joni Mitchell and Simon and Garfunkel and Jackson Browne and James Taylor. Newer, like Sia, Feist.
Mm-hmm.
Love that stuff.
You're playing Michelle. With Bonnie later this summer, right?
I'm opening up, yeah, again for Bonnie.
Cool.
I got to do a nice round with her a couple years ago too, and it's just a great experience seeing her live too. She just sounds like the record every night.
It's Maya Sharp live in the JPR studios.
People want to see it when you're pushing up against the odds. You're in the middle of your darkest hour and you give it all you got. Stood there waiting for the Hollywood rain to wash us clean in the final frame. We drifted apart when it never came. They made our movie. Get true with just a little bending. It's a beautiful story if you change the ending. Started like a dream, the opening scene, just us. Thinking we can leave any trouble, heartbreak in the dust. But I stop myself from reliving beyond it. I get this far and I gotta rewind just before you say your last line. They made our movie. The meaning to the falling, every twist before you. Before you stop calling, they can make it true with just a little bending. A beautiful story if you change the ending to the one that should have been. 'Cause who wouldn't want to see that again and again and again? If they made our movie, the meaning to the falling. Just a little bending. Oh, they made our movie. They made our movie. Oh, well, they can make it true with just a little bending. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. If you change the ending.
It's Maya Sharp live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Maya, one of the other avenues that you have found yourself in is in the role of producer and have produced quite a few albums now. How did that all get started?
Well, you know, I'm kind of doing it along the way for my own albums for years, and I'm falling for it slowly but surely. And then when I had some friends ask me to help them out with their album, I said, yeah, and I loved it. I love it.
You know, a few years ago, you were involved in a trio album with Buddy Monlock and Art Garfunkel.
Yes.
How did that group come together?
Billy Mann, actually, who was a mutual friend of all of us. Billy called one day and just had this idea. I hear that your three voices would work so well together. And he was at the helm the whole time. He produced it. And
The three of you all know each other well prior to that phone call, or had you worked together?
The three of us had never met prior to that
phone call. But he had this idea in his head that your three voices would work?
Yes, and that the three of us would all, you know, like each other. He had a chance to hang with all of us. So we all met on the first day of writing. We all wrote together and then recorded. We kind of did it in little patches over about a year, writing, recording, and then we made the record. We went on the road. It worked. Billy was right.
What has changed for you over the years? I mean, about 14, 13 years since your first album came out. I mean, from a listener's perspective, it seems like there has been a bit of a transition from, you know, the lonely woman with her guitar on stage to much bigger musical forces, a bigger band, more full production. What have you felt has changed in you, either your performing or your songwriting?
Well, hopefully the writing just keeps on honing. You know, I just want the songs to be stronger every time, and to be a true reflection of where I am now. You know, I'm not 22 anymore, so I'm not as afraid of things as I was. Things don't, you know, affect me maybe as much as they did before. So hopefully, I can write about that now. And performing too. It's just I've logged a lot of flight hours now, so it's fun to enjoy the other level of here I am. I don't really feel like I have to prove anything, even if it's a tiny venue. I don't know. It's just an attitude, I think, that happens when you're not, you know, a whippersnapper anymore.
Yeah. What kinds of things inspire the songs from you? Are they things that you see or things that you read? Or?
Yeah, it's definitely everything. I can never be one of those people that can only draw from her own experience. I feel like that would be self-indulgent, and eventually I would just bore you to tears. So I'm always observing. I'm always kind of doing my version of somebody else's story. And sometimes it just kind of starts as a phrase, a nice little twist of a phrase, and it sings well, and it rhymes in the right place. And then it inspires something that maybe I did experience, but it was the angle that I never thought of.
Yeah. Maya Sharp is my guest live in the JPR studios, helped today from Linda Taylor. Thank you for being here as well. Can we hear another tune?
Yes. Would you like to hear another from the new record, or
yes.
We have about... Okay.
Yes.
All right. There you go. This one's called Your Stepping Stone. Here I am, your stepping stone, floating in the river all alone. Well, I helped to get you safely home, but you couldn't hang around. I felt you land, but then you were gone, 'cause another stone needed stepping on. And I became just one along the way to solid ground. Your stepping stone, oh, your stepping stone. Oh, the way the moonlight hit the water, I thought it was real. I thought I was sure enough. The way you flew to me from nowhere, but I still held you, keeping my surface rough. Oh, now here I am, your stepping stone, floating you safely home, but you couldn't hang around. I felt you land, but then you were gone, 'cause another stone needed stepping on. And I became just one along the way to solid ground. Your stepping stone, oh, your stepping stone, oh. I'm trying not to wish I threw you. Just let the melted snow wash over me. Maybe smooth me out a little, so the next flyby will slide off and let me be. Oh yeah, here
just want along the way to solid ground, your stepping stone. Oh, your stepping stone. Oh, 'cause bringing you the part you see is the ever drowning rest of me, anchored in muddy riverbed. Yeah. Here I am, your stepping stone, floating in the river all alone. I helped to get you safely home, but you couldn't hang around. I felt you land, but then you were gone, 'cause another stone needed stepping on. And I became just one along the way to solid ground, your stepping stone. Oh, your stepping stone. Oh, your stepping stone. Oh, your stepping stone. Oh, 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 oh.
It's Maya Sharp live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and at IJPR.org. Is there a specific date in stone for that album? I mean, we have the single, but when is the album due?
Well, music business stone, yes. August 28th.
And we'll probably get it before that by a couple of weeks.
Also
digital, right, on iTunes and all
that? Yeah, and probably before that on iTunes, yeah, at least 2 weeks before that on iTunes.
So how long ago did you consider the album done? Like, when was it sort of wrapped up?
Oh, there's so many layers of done right now.
Right.
It really felt wrapped about a month ago,
actually.
Yeah, and then we launched into the artwork and all that stuff. I hope people still want to hold the CD in their hands, because we really did work kind of hard on the artwork.
Right, and it has what, like a film motif on the cover?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, from, you know, if they made our movie. So we went with a movie theme.
Cool. So what's the rest of the summer like for you? Just out on tour promoting the album, or mixing that with producing albums and performing on others' albums?
A little bit of production, but mostly I'm on and off the road for the album. Yeah, I definitely want to. We worked really hard on this thing. I'm really proud of it. So I want to let as many people know about it as I can.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'll be out there.
You guys, thanks so much for being here. Do we have time to maybe hear one more?
Absolutely.
Sure. Cool. What are you going to play for us?
What do you think about, are you okay for something a little slow?
Sure.
Is that all right? I don't mean to bring everybody down on their lunch hour or anything, but I got a song about wallowing in it. Bonnie Raitt recorded this one on her last record, and just, you know, well, she did her Bonnie thing and sang the heck out of it. This one's called I Don't Want Anything to Change. You ready? Sleepless nights aren't so bad. I'm staying up, I'm staying sad. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change. I like it lonely, I like it strange. I don't want anything to change. You left a mess, you're everywhere. I'd pick it up all, but I don't dare. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change. There's nothing I would rearrange. I don't want
until you're gone. I'm taking all the time that I can borrow. The getting over is waiting, but I won't move on. And I'm gonna wanna feel the same tomorrow. Know the truth is right outside, but for the moment it's best deny. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change. But until you're gone, I'm taking all the time that I can borrow. The getting over is waiting, but I won't move on. I'm gonna wanna feel the same tomorrow. And I don't want anything to do. What comes after you? I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change. I don't want anything to change.
That's Maya Sharp live on Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, online at ijpr.org. The new album coming out soon is called Change the Ending. Maya Sharp, Linda Taylor, thank you guys so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck tonight.